Welcome to It All Boils Down to This, the podcast where father and son take the kitchen table arguments and heated discussions from their home directly to yours. Jim and Jack Boyle will explore the world as only they can. We might even let a few guests join the fun. So sit back, choose a side, watch the water temperature rise, and enjoy stimulating generational conversation about sports and life.
Welcome to It All Boils Down to This, episode 29. I'm down here in Florida. Jack's back up in Wilmington for our 29th episode, second one down here. We had a really wild weekend, I know, this weekend in college basketball as well as the NBA. Jack, why don't we start with the NBA and your thoughts on what really transpired, especially last night?
Just a lot of NBA, two really good Celtics wins. I don't know what else went on in the NBA, but no, the two Celtics games obviously started with the Mavericks on Friday and then the Warriors yesterday. But again they blew the doors off both of them. But after they blow the doors off them, the reaction kind of is, well, they were supposed to, or it doesn't matter. It's just like how I was saying all year. It doesn't matter what happens now with the Celtics, which is kind of what's annoying about it in terms of like the way the media treats them, because it's all about what they're going to do in June. So yeah, they were great wins and all, but again, I think I had sent you, like, someone had made up what's going to happen on Felger Mass.
That was funny. That was funny.
No. So what it was like, oh, well, are the Celtics peaking too early? Oh yeah. You have to think they're all right. Back to talk about Bill Belichick. Get out of work. I look at my phone. I pull up the Felger Mass podcast. See how
they start. Is that what they're talking about?
They start to 15 minutes. They do 15 minutes talking about how that Celtics game was useless. It was irrelevant. Now, mind you, if they had lost that game, it would have been like, they got this mental thing against the Warriors. Because it was specifically the Warriors. They got this mental thing against the Warriors. And no, it was useless. They killed them. Steph Curry didn't even try. Didn't want to be there. Blah, blah, blah. And then they went back and started talking about the NFL and Belichick again. So, yeah. It is the way it is here.
I will say this. Over the last three, they've won like 11 straight. If you look at the wins they've had and the way they've accomplished those wins, against the Sixers, where they were small, they went and scored 2 points. They hit 5 3-pointers. Against Dallas, they made Doncic defend and he can't defend. They made Kyrie Irving defend and he can't defend. They're really, really good at exploiting matchups. And then against the Warriors, that was just a nightmare. The Warriors, it was 21-21. Celtics scored 21 points to 1. The only point the Warriors scored in that end of that quarter was on a free throw for a 3 second, defensive 3 seconds violation or whatever it is. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, Draymond Green shooting his mouth off and Steve Kerr's idea, let's leave Jaylen Brown open and maybe we can be that way. We'll throw that away. And then everything else, I mean, just everything worked. And the other thing people don't realize, Chris Porzingis wasn't even in that game and they still dominated. I mean, they didn't just dominate them. Defensively, they just completely dominated. I think one thing I read today was, that I don't know who said it, but it could be the coach. They know now Golden State can't defend them. There's nobody on Golden State can stop anybody on the Celtics, and they can get anything they want. And that was proven by what's his name? Pritchard was getting to the rack whatever he wanted. I mean, so the Golden State's not any good anyway. Dallas is not any good anyway. Doncic is probably – that's what I really want to talk about, Doncic. Is he most – he's the most overrated, selfish player I've ever seen in my life. And he's playing with the other overrated selfish player, which is Kyrie. You've made the point. They're never going to win anything. They had Brunson. They had Porzingis. They got rid of Grant Williams. Guys who know how to win. You know, what's your take on Doncic? We saw him Friday night.
Well, you know my take. He's a selfish guy who averages 11 assists a game. He's just he can't play a lick of defense also. I mean, he's nothing. He's everyone. And they go from that game and, oh, look at – you can't tell me Tatum's as good of a basketball player as Luka. But Tatum's not going to go for 30, 10, and 10 every night like Luka's, but he's going to impact the game in more ways than Luka does. And sometimes it's better off when it's not just one player dominating the ball and then you complain about, oh, Tatum's got better teammates. Well, why is that? Why do his teammates look better? Because he lets them actually have the ball and do things that they – now he does have better teammates, sure. But the Luka thing is just – Luka's useless. He really is. He can't – he is one of the worst defensive players of all time. Honestly, if he were – I wouldn't swap him for Jaylen Brown. I wouldn't. It would make the Celtics worse.
I agree with you on that. I totally agree with that.
It would make the Celtics worse. It's insane. And then to this Warriors thing, the Warriors, they're, like, fighting in, like, to be in the play-in right now, correct?
Correct. That's – with the Lakers, by the way.
Okay, but Draymond and Steve Kerr, after they were like, oh, we came up with our defensive game plan 15 minutes before the game, that Jaylen thing they were doing.
That's horseshit.
But you don't, you're not, but oh, and then they're like, oh, well, it didn't work. You're not in a situation to have like this random game plan where you got to win as much. You're trying to, you're not like the Celtics where you have an 8-game lead and you can do whatever the hell you want. You got to win, you got to win games and win now. So that didn't make, and that was an analytical thing, which shows how you can't just purely take analytics to basketball. Apparently, Jaylen Brown on open 3-pointers is shooting like 28% this year. But that's throughout the flow of the game. When you're specific, when you're giving him wide open threes every single possession, he's not going to shoot 28%.
And the great thing about it was he took the advantage of it and he put them right away. I mean, if you look at that first quarter, he scored 19. I think Tatum had 2, and then all of a sudden Tatum, you texted me, this is just unfair. Tatum, they're blowing him out, and all of a sudden Tatum gets hot, and then all of a sudden Pritchard scoring points, and then what's his name? Holiday and White really didn't play great, but they didn't need to. They didn't play. And again, we go back to my friend Tommy Trevisani. That was the longest garbage time I have ever seen in an NBA game, a quarter and a half. Just back to Doncic, do you think this whole triple-double thing is just now irrelevant in the game? Because it's like it's happening every night. It's not like it's a rare occurrence that everyone gets a triple-double. But do you think it's just irrelevant? And maybe we should just forget about that stat and look at something else and what how they're contributing to the game, both offensively and defensively. Because Doncic probably gives up a triple-double both on the defensive end and on the offensive end.
Well, the comparison here is at least Westbrook could play a little bit of defense, but Westbrook was the same way on offense where he put up all these numbers, but he wasn't doing anything for you. He wasn't a good player. He wasn't going to lead you to a title. It's the same thing. Westbrook does provide more on the defensive end, prime Westbrook, than Doncic did. But it's basically the same thing as that. I don't care how many triple doubles you have. Let's start winning games. I'd much rather see Luka score 38-8 and touch the ball 10 times less. He just touches the ball too much. That's his issue. He makes some tough shots. He's one of the best tough shot makers I've ever seen. But that doesn't win championships, making tough shots.
So they're talking about MVP with him now all of a sudden. Give me a comparison, Jokic versus Doncic. Where's your comparison? How do you see that? The Joker.
What do you mean? Like, who'd I'd rather?
How would you compare them? They're triple-double machines. They're assist guys who play the point. Doncic can make shots from all over the place. But what's the difference between the Joker, who I think is the best player in the game right now, and Doncic, who might be a good offensive force? But where do you see the difference between the two, and why is Joker so much better than Luka?
One of them wins, one of them doesn't. One of them doesn't need to dominate the ball all the time.
Hit the nail right on the head. One of them wins, one doesn't. That's what's going to happen with Tatum here now as well. Tatum has understood that Brad Stevens went out and made some really good deals, which has made this a juggernaut of a team. It's about health now for them. They're going to lose a couple games in the playoffs. That's obvious, because they're going to have one game where they shoot like crap, but they have so many, there's such a variety of options they have to go with on the offensive end. I think what's being lost on the Celtic team is the defensive end. This team, I watched yesterday's game and Brown and then Tatum was on Curry. They were all over him. Everybody knows Curry was hurt, blah, 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 blah. Curry could not get open and get a good open look like he normally does against the Celtics. He missed one or two, and I'm sure the knee was bothering him, but their defense yesterday, and even against Dallas, they're defensively, when they play those teams, they have the ability to shut teams down if they're not scoring. So I think that's the most underrated quality of this team is, the defensive side of it is unbelievable this year. And you got nothing for me on that?
Yeah, no, their defense has probably gone under. Dude, the freaking Wi-Fi sucks. Of course I have something for you. We just shouldn't be doing this. I've said it a million times. Our Wi-Fi sucks.
Oh,
well,
just keep
you know what I'm saying. 10 but, seconds. You just literally said you have nothing for it as I was answering it right as you finished talking. So we clearly have terrible Wi-Fi. Yeah, I don't know. The Celtics are going to win the championship. The problem is, like everyone says, well, it's championship or bust. Yeah, it is. But what do you want me to do? Not watch the regular season? Not enjoy one of the greatest Celtics teams that's ever existed? They won the title this year. I'd be willing to say they might be the best sports team I've ever seen. I'd be willing to put them ahead if they continue playing like this, win the title. I'll be willing to put them ahead of the 2018 Red Sox for sure.
I was waiting for that.
100%. They're comparable teams. Their net rating, we talked about this last week, they're up to fourth all time.
Yeah.
Their point differential per game is at like fifth all time.
I know.
So it's like, amazing. What do you want me to say? They're not an all time great team. All they gotta do, they continue playing like they are right now, win the championship, and they're one of the best basketball teams ever. Honestly.
Yep.
And what they have to do to really solidify the best basketball team ever is when these guys are on the team. And the way that maybe you lose Derek White, but you'll have the ability to keep this core three guys together for another 2-3 years.
And they don't want to lose the championship because then they end up like in the scrap heap of the 2007 undefeated Patriot team too. So there's a lot of pressure on them, but you know what? Somebody, I think one of the, and maybe it was Jefferson last day said, you know, these guys have been through the ringer. They know what it's like. He said, you get to the NBA finals the first time, it's like deer in a headlight sometimes. And now they have the experience. They've been to the Eastern Conference finals like 5 times. They made it to the NCAA. They made it to the NBA championship once. I think the experience is there. I think they're getting better. I think that I have to admit, and I that the coach is growing on me a little bit. He's been doing a good job. And maybe the fact that he has a quality bench staff is helping him out as well. You know, that's where you got to look. And I think you're right. It's championship robust. It's a great team to watch. They're fun to watch. There's no doubt about it. Offensively and defensively, they're fun to watch. The NBA on the whole is actually, I don't know if there's many other teams that can stay with them. I mean, they're always going to talk about Milwaukee and Miami and Oak, Cleveland and New York, but there's nobody in the East that can stay with them. And the only team I really would worry about in the West would be Denver, only because Jokic can do so much, and that's where I would worry. So from there, let's talk about Caitlin Clark, set the all-time score.
Wait, I just want to say the Celtics. You talked about their experience. The experience gets used against them.
That's why
people are like, oh, they won't win the championship. I know it's just crazy how when you think about it, it's actually. For somehow Tatum being 26 years old and Brown being 27 years old, having all this experience is a bad thing. Well, it's like Tatum is below. People have SGA ranked above him because Tatum's lost in the finals and played bad in the finals.
SGA made the finals.
Well, where has SGA been in the playoffs? Like, would Tatum be better off right now having having no playoff resume? He's got one of the greatest playoff resumes by a player 25 or under in the history of basketball. He's got one of the greatest resumes in the history of basketball by a player 25 and under. Jordan didn't have a title before he turned 26, 27, 28. Jordan didn't have a title at Tatum's age. LeBron didn't have a title at Tatum's age. Like, it just doesn't happen. Durant didn't have a title at Tatum's age.
You know, it's just, you're right. And let's let it play out. And everybody looks, when you're winning like this, everybody looks for faults with it. It's just like, I love how you brought 2018 Red Sox in. You remember that. They gave up that bomb home run to Sanchez, and the Yankees walked out of Fenway Park with New York playing all cocky and all of the crap.
Because they were losers.
Everybody said, that's it for this Red Sox team. You know what? They weren't going to lose that season. They were just that good. The same thing's going to happen here.
The reason they were saying that about that Red Sox team is because of what happened in 2016 and 17. It's like, oh, it's the same Red Sox team. They choked earlier in the playoffs. You're right. It's the same thing with the Celtics.
Yes.
And then before you go to Caitlin Clark, around the NBA, LeBron scored his 40,000 point. I don't know.
If and they care. Lost.
That's more than Larry Bird and Magic Johnson combined. Do you know that? He has more points than
amazing,
Larry Bird and Magic Johnson combined. LeBron does. His career is just out of this world good. That's a crazy. I saw that and I was like, that's crazy.
No doubt about it. And I read there was something today that they'll most likely, and this is probably true because of the money, that is a record that will not be caught. Only because there's money involved and things have changed so much and players can come in.
He could come in so young.
Yes. He didn't have to do the year in college. He could come in young. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, you're right. It's the more combined points than Bird and Johnson together. That's amazing. Yes. That's an amazing stat. And, you know, I got to give the guy credit. I bitch and moan about him now as he's gotten older. He starts to get a little whiny. He's won. He's won everywhere he's played. He contributes to the game of basketball really well. He's a great personality. I think he's going to hang on too long, but that's okay. He wants to play with his kid. You know, I'm not going to disagree with that. I don't see him.
Who do you have number one all time?
Number one all time? I think it's 1A and 1 and 1A. I'm going to still go with
who
Jordan.
Who do you have number one?
Yeah. I go with Jordan from the six because the six titles and the defensive capabilities he had. But
and then
they're two different players. Two? Oh, Larry Bird. I'm kidding. LeBron is 1A.
You have LeBron 2?
LeBron's 1 or 2 and Jordan's 1 or 2.
What I'm trying to ask is, do you think the difference between 1 and 2 is smaller than the difference between 2 and 3, which
definitely.
And there's barely a difference between 1 and 2, and then there's a gap between the 2 and the next.
The problem I have with the third, to me, the third has always been Kareem.
There's a big gap between him and Kareem. or whoever. Yeah, huge gap. Huge.
I'm not going huge. I think that 1 and 2 are so tight that it's 1A and 1 and 1A, and then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are all, they could be interchangeable. I agree with that. There's no doubt about it that he is, that LeBron and Michael are way up here. Like with, it's like Jack and Tiger in golf. They're way up here, and everybody else is way down here. I mean, the gap is so huge. But I agree with that. Totally agree with you. Yep. And LeBron. Yep. I golfed
that's
today
all I have with the NBA. The Bucks, the Nuggets are playing.
I golfed today with guys from Chicago. So I was busting their chops because of the quarterback. We'll talk about that at the combine. Caitlin Clark, real quick. I know you wanted to bring her up. She set the all-time scoring record at NCAA everywhere for everybody. But I did look something up today because I love the way she's unique, and she's changed the way we watch the girls' women's basketball, and it's been great. And I love the fact that maybe now some of these great women athlete basketball players will get the recognition they deserve. And it's just a phenomenal player. But she broke Pistol Pete's record. Now, you know I love Pistol Pete. I looked it up. She played 130 games to break Pistol Pete's record with a three-point shot. All right? Pistol Pete, no, she played 140. That's a Pistol Pete played like 83 games in his three years. He scored 44 points a game without a three-point shot. It's a great thing. I'm glad that she did it. But the comparison is not as equal as you think. So, now I found very misogynistic and sexist because I love Pistol. But it's a great record, and that's where I stand. I think they both achieved great height there. What do you think? No?
Your points, it's a counting stat. Who has more points? Her or Pete Maravich?
Correct.
Who cares how many games they played? She scored more points than them. That's it. Right. And no one's saying she's a better impact than Pete Maravich. Who cares about that?
Oh, I don't think
but
that.
I have to say about Caitlin Clark, the biggest compliment to her is she has LeBron-ized the women's basketball game. Because when she broke that record, I was watching. It was either halftime or pregame or postgame. What they were doing is instead of just appreciating how good she was, because people are calling her the GOAT of women's basketball, what they were doing on the pregame or the halftime show was the analysts were given, this is who my GOAT is of women's college basketball, Cheryl Miller, Breonna Stewart, or blah, 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 blah. She's brought those discussions into women's college basketball. It's like, no one, it's not enough to just enjoy her greatness. It's now we have to debate who the greatest of all time is with her. And that's something you almost never have seen in women's sports like that.
Which is good. I mean, a lot of things, the women's soccer team won, by the way, last night I saw. But it's good that we have, that she's helped to change the game a little bit. It probably is good that she is in the middle of the cornfields in Iowa where they love their hoop. Not stuck here in some, up where there's a professional team. It really helps. But she's really nationalized the game. To her credit and to everyone's credit, it's been a good run and it's been fun. It's fun to watch her because she's like, it's like watching Curry. She pulls up from everywhere and shoots and scores. So it's been a good run for her. So, we'll see what happens. South Carolina.
Her ball handling is so much better than everyone else's in that sport in women's basketball. It's one of the in the skill set being so much higher. Like if you just watch her play, she handles the ball way better than everyone else I've ever seen play that sport.
And I think that's I think that's the reason they compare to Pete Maravich, because Pete had great handle and she has great handle. And you know what? Like I said, God bless her. She's really, in a very, very, very mediocre men's college basketball season, she's probably the story of the year, which is great. And then there's some really good basketball to be played.
Also, she might be the greatest free throw shooter I've ever seen. In turn, she'll get fouled, take her two free throws in like 10 seconds, make them both nothing but net. She gets through all dribbles and shoots it. She's the most automatic free throw shooter I've ever seen in my life. Good. Steph Curry, Larry Bird, I don't care. This she might be the best free throw shooter ever.
You know what's funny? When we were back in college a long time ago, before you were born, they used to talk about one thing in the girls' game that was women's game that was better than the men's game was the girls or the women could shoot free throws much, much better. And I remember going to college, they had a doubleheader, a Kemple doubleheader, and their girls, they just didn't miss. The women didn't miss. The men missed all the time. The women, that's because they had to take advantage of what they were good at, and they were good at doing that. They weren't going to play above the rim and everything, and they did shoot really. They shot free throws really well. That's probably changed as we go on. Just a side note, is South Carolina did complete their second consecutive undefeated season. So you never know, unless LSU comes and beats them. It'll be interesting.
I mean, last year.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Undefeated season. They did not go undefeated last year.
Undefeated regular season. Right. Yeah, so
all right, did St. Joe's undefeated in 2004? No, they did lose.
No, they didn't because they lost in the tournament. They lost in the Atlantic tournament. Xavier beat him, right. Good old Kevin O'Donnell and Xavier.
By the way. You embarrass your program. He heard that Xavier Courtstorm thing. He was all happy. He's like, oh, that's emasculating for Temple. Like, yeah, I agree. That's pretty embarrassing.
Oh, my God. He's killing me. We got to get back on. It'd be nice to see South Carolina and Iowa in the final, because that'll be the viewership with Caitlin. Before I finish, Caitlin, the eyes on those, the eyes and everything are just amazing. How many people are watching this stuff? You know, it's just stunning to how it has become more of a watch. It's a more watchable event. How about we say that? So
I'm more interested in their tournament run than anything in the men's game. I'm more interested to see Iowa in the women's basketball tournament than I am to see whoever these garbage men players are.
Okay. Yeah, there's not many of them. So, all right, we'll talk men's.
Bronny James. He should be like a top 15 pick. We got 5 points on 37% shooting. Who was it? Stephon Marbury said if he don't let the stats fool you. He could be an NBA. He has all the attributes an NBA player does. He just doesn't want to take the shine away from like his teammates or whatever.
Yeah, both.
5 points on 37% shooting.
Selection Sunday is 2 weeks from yesterday. We'll do a Selection Sunday show when we get to that point, and we can talk girls, women's hoop as well. And for all you women and girls out there, if I interchange girls and women, I apologize. I'm just a old man shouting at a cloud sometimes from the 70s.
It's the same thing.
I know. So, okay. NFL Combine. Our good buddy Justin Trevisani was there, right? Is that correct? I played golf today. We're going to talk about my golf game, but I don't think anyone's hear that down here in 80-degree sunny Central Florida. I hit a couple good shots. Well, I play with a father and son from Chicago, and the conversation became, what do? Do you keep Fields to trade him? Do you go for Williams? And the undeniable issue is they're going to move Fields. They want, and they want Williams. And it was funny what they said. They said, we're never going to get better until we get better ownership, management, and coaches. And it's killing them, he thinks. I said, because being from New England, we've seen it.
Who's he think he is? That's what I say about Manchester United all the time. Okay.
I know. Going. Ownership, management, coaching. Taylor Williams.
Well, coaching actually helps.
Yes. Yes. We had that. We had the discussion before. So what do you got for the combine? Anything interesting?
You totally broke up there. But what I'll say is if you want to talk about ownership. Again, you totally broke up there. Again, I'm talking over myself here. I didn't hear a thing you said. But what I will say, you were talking about coaching and ownership, and it has to get better. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs said that like 15 years ago, and they did get Andy Reid. He fell into their lap, so good for them. But their ownership, if you look, is ranked worse. Did you see that? They got ranked worse than the NFL. They've won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years. So you can win with a bad owner if you have the quarterback. And I think Caleb Williams, you have to take the chance on him. I think he might be the quarterback. I saw him play a few games. He has emotional problems. He might have a little bit, his head's a bit too big. But at the end of the day, so is Aaron Rodgers. Won a Super Bowl. So you got to go with the talent. I think he's the most talented quarterback by far. He's a lot better than Fields. You can get a second, third round pick for Fields. You can't just keep trading away the number one pick. I think the quarterback's there for them. I think they like him. I think they'll take him. We'll see what happens. I think he's going to be a success.
What's the word in New England on the third pick? Anything that I should know?
What I saw today, someone said J.J. McCarthy, and Zolak was like, you can't even throw an out route. J.J. McCarthy, I think our good friend Kevin, we might be going to like his weight pretty soon.
If they pick him. Yeah, I hear they don't like Drake May. That's what we're hearing down here. They don't like Drake May, so we'll see.
And then J.T. Daniels, I guess, stormed out of the combine. That's what J-Trev said. He like left just randomly. I don't know.
Well, those quarterbacks don't throw at the combine anyway. The combine is just to show off how fast you are. you know, like the kid ran the fastest 40 in the history of the 40, but that doesn't do you good if you can't run a route and catch a football. So we'll see what happens with that. And again, the NFL draft, we'll get our draft expert in again when we get close to the draft, and maybe we'll bring he and Kevin on board, and Justin Trevisani and Kevin on board to tell us what's going on. There was a billboard down here that was for an attorney named Trevisani, spelled the exact same way. I said, maybe Tommy knows the guy. The only few Trevisanis. I did have the next note.
What do you think Tyreek Hill ran at the combine?
Probably about a 4.3.
He ran a 4.29. So he did fast. But a lot of the fast combine 40-yard receivers end up being terrible in the NFL.
Right.
If you look up like the top 10 official 40 times, I don't think a lot of them are good. Who was that kid from TCU a couple years ago? I don't know.
If you can't catch the ball and run a route, it don't matter how fast you are. Simple. You get alligator run. I did say I was going to talk about my golf. I hit a great shot on 8. Nice rescue club there, whatever you call that, utility club. I hit up down slope coming down. I hit it right on the slope. It dribbled down about 12 feet. The greens were horrible shape down here for the course that I played. But I got a good shot in there. I had a couple of good shots. I think I have 4 birdies. It's an executive course, but I actually played. Yeah. You already accused me of not playing. If you had been down here, we could be playing we could play championships like at 7 o'clock in the morning, be done by 10 o'clock. I mean, nobody's out there.
You had 4 birdie attempts, not 4 birdies, right? Let's just clarify.
Oh no,
that.
I had 4
on par threes.
So in my four birdie attempts. First shot, first hole, I put it within 20 feet. I put it on the green. Then the next shot, I shanked. And the next I kept hitting the sand. And the sand was really wet because the sand down here is really nice if it's dry. But the sand was really wet, so it's hard to get behind it and chunk it out. But Mom and I are going out tomorrow, see what happens. Going down to Saddlebrook tomorrow. And then I'm going to play Palmer, and I'll play the Mallory course you played too. I might play 3 times the championships because they're in great shape. The greens are in phenomenal shape on the championships, so I'll probably get out. So at least I'm getting to play. Yeah. It's better. And I hate to say this, but I said this to Mom. I said, if Jack was down here, we'd be out every day. I mean, it's easy to play every day. Now that I have the owner card here, I can play for $4, any executive course I want for $4. Get on the 7 o'clock tee time. I'm home by 8:30. And to have the whole day in front of you. So it was fun. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I brought the clubs. I do need new clubs though. Whatever I have, I didn't bring your good clubs, which used to be my clubs. So I have the crap clubs. So I could use good clubs if I do decide to come back down here. I just wanted to bring one other thing up here too. This has nothing to do with anything else. The Chris Sale and Grissom issue, where Sale throws great, and the guy we traded for him gets hurt. Is that like the irony of all ironies?
I saw that Grissom got hurt. I found that hilarious. I could care less with the Red Sox, so it doesn't matter. But I did see that. That's awesome. I mean, it's awesome.
It's just the way life works, isn't it? And then they signed.
Don't worry, Chris Sale will get hurt. Don't worry.
Yeah, I know. And then they say CJ Cron. I'm thinking, why did they sign him? You got 3 guys who do the exact same. They just like signing DHs, I think. DH first baseman. And now, you know, Bellows struggle. It's so funny. You read what you read about spring training. If spring training is completely irrelevant, if a pitcher sucks, he might come off and roll off 20 straight wins. If a pitcher's great, he might not do anything. The only good thing I'm noticing is Devers is hitting the crap out of the ball early, and he normally doesn't hit the crap out of the ball early. So
I feel like he always hits the crap out of the ball early.
Yeah, he always hits the crap out of the ball.
Not at Fenway at all, April, because it's cold, but down there in March, I feel like he always hits pretty well.
And that's next topic is because you've been telling me about your fantasy team. Fantasy baseball, which we'll talk more about this year because we're going to have Chris and Kevin in the league. If we're trying to sneak Justin in as well. But right now it's Kevin accepted. He's got to change his team name. The Kevin O'Donnell team does not work. I wish it would be Xavier Musketeers suck. Should be his thing because I know he listens. But he's got a pretty good team. You're right. So it'll be interesting to see.
A pretty good team. It might be the best. And honestly, that has a case for being the best 5 keepers for sure.
It does. And but I'll tell you something. He's got to learn to draft pitching. And until you learn to draft pitching, which Mr. Greco didn't do well last year, it's irrelevant. So.
I know, but he's got an ace. He's got an ace. In Corbin Burnes. He has to decide between Lindor and Gunnar Henderson. I think that might be a little bit of a decision to make. I don't know how good Henderson is, like if he's on Lindor level, but he's young, so I don't know. But then he's got Julio Rodriguez. He's got Aaron Judge. He's got Alonso. I mean, Alonso and Judge could give you 100 home runs combined.
They could also get hurt. Judge.
No, they probably will get hurt, but yeah, Judge will get hurt, but still, he's a great player to have on your team.
It's
no,
really
Kevin should be. If Kevin's on the playoffs, he's a failure. It's a failure. You got to make the playoffs.
Chris didn't make the playoffs. Chris had a pretty good team too. He left every
no keepers.
He drafted
Chris
every
had zero
he could
keepers.
Draft.
That no, he didn't. Chris had zero keepers. Chris had
yeah,
zero.
But he drafted.
Zero
he had every.
Kevin had six. Six viable keepers. Chris had zero.
Yeah, and the only reason you keep Gunnar Henderson right now is you're looking future wise. I would keep him over Lindor, and you live with him, just like when I kept Bobby Witt. Same thing. You got to live with him. It'll be a fun year. I'm glad. You know, I was thinking this that if we got Justin in the league five, we'd have covered half the league, and all four of you guys used to travel Philly with me. So it's really now you can try to beat me again, which is fun. I'm glad Kevin's in it. You know what's good about Kevin being a math guy and a business analyst?
Kevin's
guy.
All in.
He'll be nuts. So we'll look to do some of that fantasy stuff later on as we get closer to baseball season. Like I said, Brian Cain's a big fantasy player too. We got to get him on. Who else did you say was a longtime listener, first time caller? John Marquardt, right?
Dude, yeah. Okay. So Kevin is all in. I mean, he's been reading mock drafts. He was going to buy MLB The Show so he could do a franchise and learn all the players. I don't know. He's all in. So that's why I said, like, J Trev, if we do, I'm good with no J Trev. Because if we had J Trev, you can, I already know he wouldn't care at all. And he would draft and buy. He wouldn't. Kevin, I guarantee you, he's like, Red Sox games are going to be cheap this summer. He'll be going to the Red Sox game. There's like, yeah, when one of your pitchers is pitching at Fenway, go. It's a great experience. Yeah. So he's getting all into baseball. I mean,
it's good. I like that. I like.
He went away from the world of sports, the world of American sports, for like 5 years, but he's like all back. Baseball's coming back into it for him. So that's
as long as he doesn't do too many DraftKings stuff, we'll be all set. It's a good league, though. Yeah. I like our league. We're weeding out some of the players, and we'll see what happens. I did read an article where it does say don't panic in April, and some of our guys do panic in April. So, and I like the J.
Yeah, I agree because, like, there are people in our league who drop players like George Kirby in April.
Oh, yeah, like me, a dumbass that I am.
Yeah, you panicked in April.
No, I didn't. I just made a mistake. Simple mistake. Okay. Simple mistake. Mm-hmm. I did. I still was dominating. Yeah. You know what?
You know Chris. Chris's team would have sucked.
I know. Who's going to be the first player taken? Who do you think after keepers?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know who's available.
I'm telling you right now, Yamamoto gets taken first.
No.
Somebody will take Yamamoto really early.
No way in hell. That's no way. I don't know who goes first.
I'm taking Glasnow first.
Go for it. If he's there, I'm taking him. But
I know you're taking him. He's pitching with the Dodgers. Why wouldn't you take him? All right, we'll do a fantasy show. The draft's now on the 25th. So the 18th. The draft's on a Monday night, I think he's scheduled right now. And we'll have already played two games. So then those games will count. I did read the rules today. The draft's on the 25th. We'll do a pre-draft show. We'll get Kevin and Chris in. I'll be back in town. Maybe we can get the studio for like a Saturday night or something, do a draft show with them just to talk about what we're looking at. Bore the hell out of some of our listeners out there. Like I said, big shout out to John Marquardt, who I know he's listening to. So welcome everybody to It All Boils Down to This. Just to finish it off, I don't know, did you have anything else? I got one more question I want to ask you. Do you have anything else that you wanted to go over, Jack?
I had like questions for you, like this or that, but the connection's not good enough, so I don't want to do them right now.
Yeah, I'll be back. Like I said, I'm back. We'll do one more like this, and then I'll be back. I'll at least be able to get in the studio and do it, and you might have to do it from home because you'll be late.
Just a quick preview. I'll give you the first one I had, and it's not just sports. There's a couple other things, but the first one I had, you starting a team, you get one of these guys, Allen Iverson or Steve Nash.
I take Iverson.
All right. Well, you just took the shorter Luka Doncic is what you just did.
I just took the guy who could get to the rack whenever he wanted.
I'm taking Nash then.
I got Allen Iverson.
Neither of them.
I saw AI play a lot though too. So give me a non-sports one. I'm curious.
Well, I'm gonna get through them all. I only have like one of them. one of them was Havana. So it was Havana or Sochi if you were to go on vacation. Yeah.
I'm going to Havana. It's warmer. I'm going to Havana. It's warmer. Sochi. Who'd want to go to Sochi? Jesus. Who would want to go to Sochi? First of all, he'd probably kill you because you're American. He would take me because I think I was a spy. I look like a spy. And Havana, you know, you get in and out. It's warm. It's nice. I'd take Havana. I'm telling you right now, Havana's a very underrated city. Right. If Castro hadn't screwed up the whole country for 50 right. years, Havana was underrated.
That was before you were born. You're talking about Havana like you remember it from your childhood. He took over the country before you were born. I'm just a kid.
It was the mobs. Right, the mob control.
Forget it. That's
all the casinos. The mob. I love that. Okay.
I missed the reference last week. I was going to do it. Whatever. Go. It was a Godfather 2 reference. That's where they were in Godfather 2. Hyman Roth. he always makes money for his partners. I forgot to say that last week. I was all pissed off. That was in Havana before the revolution.
Because the mob controlled everything. They controlled the gambling. That's why they hated Castro, because they controlled the gambling. So that's why you don't know who killed Kennedy. Could have been Castro. Could have been the mob. Who knows? So you're looking. Who killed Kennedy?
It was the Pope.
Boston's had a great run as a town with championships all over. Right now, and think about this, because I don't know exactly the front end. What town is the sports town right now? Where are you getting the best bang for your buck? I'm going to give you. So Denver won in basketball. Dallas, Fort Worth won in baseball.
I'd rather die.
Huh? Las Vegas won in hockey, and Kansas City won in everything's in the Midwest. Kansas City won in football.
Honestly, you bang for your buck. I'll go Kansas City just because they've won three in the past 5 years in one sport. Like, what does Denver want? What do you get in Denver? Did the Avalanche win the title? The Avalanche did win the title, didn't they?
I'm not sure. I have to look. But how about Tampa Bay?
I think they won the title like 2 years ago. Tampa Bay is older. That's a bit older. And it's Tampa Bay. So, like, I don't know. That's a good question. Where's the sports hub? I don't know. There's no – What if Boston wins like the title and then like the Stanley Cup? They're not going to the Stanley Cup, but they won the President's Trophy last year. The team's not awful. I don't know. That's the question I have to think about. Where the sports hub of the world right now is.
It's interesting. It's a good question. I don't know. I think it's very
spread. Manchester, England.
Well, that's because they got Man City. That's why.
Did you see that game we played against them? Oh my God, we got freaking wrecked. I mean, we're up 1-0 at halftime. We got wrecked. It was tough to watch. Honestly, it was one of the tougher watches in my life. We got wrecked. They had more shots than we had percent possession. We had like 28% possession, which means we had the ball 28% of the time. They had 29 shots.
That's amazing. I don't know. Premier League talk to end the show. That's awesome. So next week.
And Arsenal. Like, Arsenal won 6-0 again today. Arsenal won 6-0 again.
Who'd they beat? 6-0.
It was the worst team in the history of the Premier League. But still, they've been winning every game 6-0. Not kidding.
Who's the worst team in the history of the Premier League?
Listen to this stat. Sheffield United. Who Sheffield United, you know who Sheffield – I'm pretty sure Sheffield United is the team that Wrexham almost beat last year.
Yes, they are.
They suck. They're horrible. They're the only team worse than us at defense. So the stat is, ready, since the turn of the calendar. So the Premier League starts in August. We probably played 18 games before the turn of the calendar. You play 38 games in total. Arsenal, since the turn of the calendar, since the beginning of 2024, have scored 30 Premier League goals. Manchester United have 37 for the season. For the season. Yeah.
Hey,
I'm going through hell. I picked Manchester United as my team 3 years after they won everything for 20 years.
Yeah, you probably should have picked Chelsea.
Even Arsenal.
All right.
Oh, Chelsea. Forget Chelsea. They're even worse than us, but at least they have won stuff since I've been a fan.
Okay, real quick, just as we finish on the high school side, the boys hockey team got beat last night in the second round of the playoffs, 6-0 to Stoneham, which probably is not what they expected. Had a good run. One more team left. We have the girls basketball tonight against the number one Foxborough team, who you said won like 80-2, which will be a tough game.
They were 54-2 at halftime, yeah.
And then
52-4 at halftime.
We did have a state champion in girls wrestling. Hannah Bryson won the state championship. So at least we got something going for us there. Any last words before we let you go, Jackson?
That Stoneham's a wagon at hockey, I guess. Jesus, 6-0. They're the team that knocked out my team senior year. My high school, I wasn't on the team, but our hockey team senior year, we lost them at the strongest, Stoneham. They lost in the state championship. Yeah. I don't know how they lost, but they lost in the state championship. We got killed that game, too.
All right. So we've got one more day. I got 2 weeks down here yet. What's so funny?
Nothing. Riley was feeling it. Riley is down banging on the glass yelling at the other team.
Hey, that's another guy. Connor's there. We got to get on. He's down there doing a Georgia Bureau investigation, so we can get him on. He's a big sports guy too. So there's a lot of people.
What about Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah, that's a good one. What do they have done?
Nothing. The Hawks are sucky. They did win the championship basically like 2 years ago, and they had the
Falcons, the Braves. They don't even have a hockey team.
They almost hired Bill Belichick. Almost.
Almost. They got close. All right. So we got one more like this. Sorry about the internet connection. Sometimes down here with old people, they don't really have great internet connection. I will be ready to sign off for Jack Boyle. I'm Jim Boyle for It All Boils Down to This, episode 29. And we'll see you on down the road. Looks like dinner for Jack. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks for listening to this episode of It All Boils Down to This, recorded at WCTV Studios in our hometown of Wilmington, Massachusetts. We are always open to any ideas, critiques, topics, and guests. So if anyone out there in podcast world needs to get a hold of us, we can be reached via email at jboyle22@comcast.net. Along with Jack Boyle, I'm Jim Boyle. Make sure to tune in to the next edition of It All Boils Down to This.